Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
As the Christmas season comes again, how shall we hear the story? Might we consider the story through someone who was there, but not always considered? An unsung hero.
His presence was felt, but his voice wasn't heard, and his opinion certainly was not asked.
Joseph, the foster father of Jesus.
Before we journey with Joseph, what can we know about him? He was a carpenter, wasn't he?
Yes, he was a carpenter. Back in that day, a carpenter was kind of a middle-class type of person. They were in high demand, and they worked in all sorts of medium, from wood to stone to whatever was available. And actually, in Israel, there wasn't a lot of wood, so a lot of their work was with stone. In fact, the Greek word for carpenter is tekton, which means a builder. He was skilled in building boats, tables, chairs, benches, houses, whatever was called for. And that's why he would have been a upper middle class and well in demand and well thought of and an important part of the community.
Matthew 1, verses 18 and 19. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. To some listeners, these words might not make sense at all. I mean, a pledge to be married. Then it says it's her husband. Then it talks about coming together. And finally, it talks about divorce.
Yeah.
What does all this mean?
Well, it's not the type of marriage we have today where you date and no, I don't like this person and move away and come back together or whatever. First, the pledge to be, in the Old King James actually instead of the word pledged, and we think of our engagement that way, it used the word betrothed. Back in the Jewish customs, actually the families would prearrange the marriages, and then they would have the wedding ceremony where they were actually legally married. But they would not live together. They'd stay at their mom and dad's houses still for one entire year, not living together as husband and wife. And that was in there so that there would be no question of infidelity or a child or a quick rushed marriage or anything like that. It was really to preserve the virginity of man and woman so that when they actually did come together, it would be for the first time. And that's where then they would be living in the same house. But during this betrothal time, it was a legal binding thing, even though they weren't living together. And so when it talks about Joseph divorcing her, that's what he had to do. It was a legal divorce because it was a legal marriage at that point already. being a righteous man, it meant that he was an honorable man, a good man, a fair man. I really think he loved Mary a lot, because prearranged marriages back then, it was probably like mama and papa would say, well, who do you like, son? And he'd say, well, you know, that girl down the street, Mary, I sure like. Well, let's go over and see if we can figure out what we can do. And that's how the arrangements went, more by the kids.
So it wasn't anything like the medieval royal marriages that we hear about sometimes.
Not at all.
And it wasn't like a mail order bride thing,
where you never saw the person before. Mm-hmm. You actually, no, not at all. They knew each other and they were attracted to each other, but it was arranged by the parents. Now, sure, there were some problems with this, but generally speaking, it was an okay thing.
So tell me this. Divorce is very common these days.
Mm.
How common was it back then?
Not common at all. There was a very tight social network where you just learned to live with that person, whether you like it or not. And by the way, the prearranged marriages, this is why it actually worked well, because this one-year engagement and such, it made sure everything was compatible. And mama and papa would say, that's a fiery redhead. Are you sure you can handle her? And, you know, and there's probably some preparation so that there wouldn't be the potential of a rushed marriage, or they don't know each other, or that they aren't able to communicate. It really was a situation that helped marriages. So, Cecilia, how do you think Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant?
Well, we know from the Gospel of Luke that an angel came to Mary and told her that she would conceive a son. Then it doesn't tell us anything.
No.
But she must have missed her period. And I believe that it was after she missed her period and was absolutely sure, as if an angel coming to her wouldn't have made her sure, but was absolutely sure that she was pregnant, that she went and told Joseph, because she was a righteous woman. She'd want to be fair.
That's right. That phrase, righteous man, righteous woman, back then would have meant, as I mentioned earlier, good, right, fair, keeping the laws, and doing so in a heartfelt, thankful way to the Lord. She was a righteous woman. Would have been fair and told Joseph. He had to decide, do I continue with the marriage or do I divorce her? He loved her, but he just couldn't handle the fact that she had a baby and it wasn't his. It broke his heart. He had to decide, then, do I make this a public divorce, which could mean possibly her stoning, or should I make it just a private one? And it does say Joseph wanted to be private because he loved Mary, and he, being a righteous man, wanted to do the right thing for her and not bring her shame.
Wow. Hurt, angry, betrayed. And yet he loved her. How could he make such a decision? If faced with a situation like this, Pastor Dave, how would you make a decision like this?
Well, And I appreciate you're bouncing it back to me, the guy. Though the emotions are there, guys don't always make the decisions based on how they feel. If it were based on that, he would divorce her. Point out blank. You hurt me. You betrayed me.
Mm-hmm.
Yet at the same time, guys do think of other things than just the emotions to what's the goal, what's the end. And I think that's where we are really challenged with things of what is the risk? What is the reward?
Mm.
And that's how we can make decisions even today. No, we're never going to have a situation like Joseph, but we'll have tough, tough decisions when, and we'll be yanked around by our emotions. I know I have. And I have to stop and put those emotions aside and say, what's the risk if I do this? And that's what Joseph had to decide. If I marry her right now and keep the marriage going, mm-hmm. and this baby, they're going to all think there's infidelity, that we had an affair before we actually should have been together. And he would have been shamed big time in his community.
Mm.
And I think that's why Joseph at first wanted to divorce her quietly, because of the huge shame he would have had as the carpenter of Nazareth. The reward. That's the thing. Is there any reward in marrying her? At first he said, no, none. But that's where we are faced when we make decisions. What is the risk? What is the reward? And here's the biggest challenge of all as Christians. When we make hard decisions, are we thinking of just ourselves, our own reputation, or are we thinking about God and his ultimate goal and his reputation? For example, if someone said something, should I dare risk saying something to this person, even though I'm not going to see him again? Well, the reward might be if I say something about Jesus, that he's my Savior, that he loves me, and that he helps me even in the most difficult times like you're going through. The risk might be big that the person will say, you idiot, I can't believe in God. But he might tell me more. And the reward then would be he'll come to know Jesus. And so I would like to think when I make decisions, I'm thinking about God's ultimate goal. I don't always do it, but that's what I want to do. The reward for God's kingdom.
Matthew 1:20-21. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said,
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
Well, the road was clear for Joseph on what he needed to do. An angel came and spoke with him. Take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid. Bring her into your house. Continue with the marriage.
I wish God sent angels to speak to us these days.
Well, interesting as you say that. Do you know what the word angel in Greek is? Messenger.
Of course.
Messenger. And he does send messengers. That's what pastors are. That's what parents are for kids. That's what teachers are in Christian schools. But there's one other verse that comes to mind from Hebrews chapter 1:1. In the past, God spoke to us through the prophets, and today he speaks to us
through his son.
Mm-hmm. Jesus was the best and the biggest messenger. And we have the words of Jesus, and we just need to keep reading them, and reading them. And God makes it relevant. God will make it clear. And if he doesn't, then it's a matter of stepping out in faith, trusting he who gave us all those words, which are floating around in our brain anyway. God's with us. Because isn't that really what the angel then did say to Joseph? Ah, Cecilia, let's read the next couple verses of Matthew.
Matthew 1, 22 through 25. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through his prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Luke 2, verses 1 and 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. Who was Caesar Augustus? We know he was the Roman emperor at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, but what else is important for us to know? He was born in 63 BC and died in 14 AD. His rule officially began in Rome in 27 BC. That was when he was given the title Augustus. He made a lot of wicked decisions in his time, but he also made a lot of decisions which did much good for Rome. He passed laws to encourage marital stability. He passed laws to encourage and renew religious practices. He instituted a system of taxation and census. He expanded the network of Roman roads. Very important innovation in his time. He founded a postal service. He established a regular police force. He also established a regular fire department. He built up an army and even took care of the veterans after their service. He brought peace to a Roman state which had been war-torn for decades. The Pax Romana lasted for over 200 years. Luke 2, verses 3 to 6. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child.
Thank you.
Pastor Dave, as I reflect on this program, it's been rather depressing.
Well, that is one way to view it. A couple thoughts. First, let's remember, we're viewing this through the eyes of Joseph. We're not viewing it through the eyes of Happy Christmas, Mary, everything's good. But we're trying to see what was actually seen then.
But Christmas is supposed to be happy.
Well, when Joseph was engaged or betrothed, it started happy, but it went, what do they say, sideways?
Downhill.
And then the angel came and said, okay, nope, this is of those. Okay. So then he, what am I going to do now with all, oh, I'll go to Bethlehem for the, that'll work. But when they get there, what happens?
No place in the inn.
Sideways again. And so we see with Joseph, though he had his plans, though he had his dreams, though he had his expectations, none of them were met. But you know what?
What's that?
God with us. That very promise that God said he would come, he came. Even when things go sideways, even when things seem depressing, even when things don't go as we imagine, expect, or plan, God is there. And that's the real comfort that we find in the story of Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. God was working in it all. And that's what he does in our lives when it isn't working like we planned, like we expected, when it's going sideways, left hand, right hand, downward. God is with us. And we can take comfort in knowing that no matter what comes, because Jesus came the first time and took away our sins when he died on the cross, God is with us always until we reach his heavenly mansion.
Oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Do come back again to Room 4216.
Credits. Corey's Lullaby by Corey Pappas. Various pieces from the album Be Still and Know by Laurel Jean. Adagio for Strings by Samuel Barber. The St. Louis Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Leonard Slatkin, 1989. Bist du bei mir by J.S. Bach. The BBC Orchestra, conducted by Leonard Slatkin, 2004. Mary, Did You Know? Abbe Carrion, Advent Songs Instrumental, 2019. O Come by Mercy Me, from the album It's Christmas, 2015.